Good afternoon. Today speaking, you will have myself, Pierre de Montsant, co-founder and chairman of Planisware, started in 1996, with our CEO, Loïc, who actually started on U.S. operation in 1999, and Stéphanie Pardo, our CFO, who joined us later, and with a seasoned CFO who has been working in various public and private company. I would like first to come back to you after 6 months. I think we talked with most of you 6 months ago in the period of end of September and October with the 2023 numbers. We had quite a good year for 2023 with growth of 20.3% at constant exchange rate. Our EBITDA actually grew a little bit faster, and we are quite a good cash conversion at 84%. If we compare with guidance that Loïc has been showing at that time, in terms of growth, we are a little bit above what we were saying. Basically, we are aligned with our long-term growth plan, which is 20%. Recurring revenue has been growing also a little bit faster. EBITDA is really better, and I need to explain it a little bit there. I mean, at 33%, we are retrieving our historical profitability of 2021. I think we took some major action in 2023 to improve that. First was to readjust our price with inflation, to index our contract. The second was to be more moderate in our wage increase. And the third has been to review all our subcontractor policy and to renegotiate our contracts and reduce the subcontractors. And the three have been really improving our profitability, and the cash conversion is 84%. So now I need to come back a little bit on Planisware. Planisware is a company who started its internationalization very early in history. That makes them today we are doing more than 80% of business outside of France. And as a software vendor, we have been transforming company as a SaaS company, SaaS software company, and we have finalized the transition in 2019. And since we have finalized this transition, we are on the verge to do 20% growth for the next year with a good level of profitability. Our market is what we call the project economy, so it's driven by the change in our economy, where jobs are moving from production to creation. So, you know, building new product and new processes, and all these jobs are moving to project jobs. So what we see today is, in the OECD, we have about 250 million people working on projects. This is fueled by some mega trends, you know, innovation mega trend. You know, the world continue to innovate at a fast pace. Energy transition requires a lot of new infrastructure. The race for automation and productivity and digitalization. So if you look at the project economy, we know today that only one-third of projects are successful, meeting their target in terms of scope, budget, and so on. So there is a lot of improvement to do in that space, and that's where Planisware is useful. It's a platform where our customer are putting all our project information to manage that project with a portfolio approach, so they can have better visibility on the resource demand, better allocate resource and budget, and perform well, better in projects. I believe today that this is probably one area where you have a lot of productivity gain to do in the economy. You know, looking at all these company doing all these projects, it's improving the 35% success ratio is really important. So coming back to our positioning, I think the competitive landscape didn't change in the last 6 months. Planisware position itself as a multi-specialist. We believe that specializing on some project management practice is very important. The project economy is a very wide market with a very different kind of project. So today, in the market, you have still the legacy provider, Oracle, SAP, Microsoft, Broadcom, who are selling some, you know, generic products, that didn't make this transition to the specialization. And then you have various specialist vendors. The second column is people working on collaboration, work management and collaboration. These companies are very successful today. They are not competitors, and actually they are helping to grow the market efficiently because using project management tools has become more and more common today. And we see a demand from customers to move from this project management to portfolio management in order to have a more disciplined approach. On the third column, you have the specialists. Atlassian, we're specializing in software development, Procore in construction management. They are successful. Really, specialization means something for this company. And the fourth column, you have our main competitor, which is Plainview, a company which is probably a little bit more than two times larger than us. We have been growing by acquisition over the last 5-6 years. Actually, this company is trying to decommission some of their products in their portfolio that create opportunity for us to display them. And eventually, Planisware, the multi-specialist strategy on the four axes, research and development, engineering project, service project, and digitalization project, with one platform. The one platform thing is important because it helps customers to use the different specialty inside their company, like, for example, starting in IT, and then we can cross-sell to research and development, and then eventually cross-sell to supply chain for engineering projects. So now we let Loic talk about, to give some colors about the 23 years. That was quite interesting for us.
Thank you, Pierre. Good afternoon or good morning. This is Loic speaking. Well, you've heard previously the fantastic story of Planisware being such an outstanding category leader enabling the project economy. And now we are going to zoom into 2023 to showcase some of the things that happened. Well, if you remember, our strategy had always been a land and expand strategy. In 2023, we've been able to secure close to 50 new logos, new clients, many of those being blue chip organizations. We took some a very nice example at the bottom, which we had to anonymize for some of them. But if you look at the examples, one of the largest med device company decided to standardize and replace all of the point solution that they were using to replace that with Planisware. One of the largest multinational consumer goods corporation within their IT, digital transformation and IT, they actually replaced one of our main competitor standardizing on Planisware. Or we also have some landing a new customer in one of the world's largest mobile telecommunication company based in the Middle East, where they decided to standardize on Planisware to have a single source of truth for all kinds of projects starting with IT. This landing strategy, those new customers, those are very important because this is really gasoline for the future when we go into the expansion mode. And the expansion mode, the stickiness of our solution is really there. You can see that with a net retention rate, 121%, or the very low churn rate, 1.8%, that we have there. We were able to expand at many customers. Hydro-Québec is an example where same thing, they decided to standardize, replacing their point solution. And what we have gained from the reason why we have been able to have such a position is that we really several hundred of improvement, and we continue to expand on our feature set to fulfill the land and expand strategy. We continue to bring capabilities like PMGo, that the PMGo allows us to tag along the market created by the point solution, the Monday and the Wrike and the likes, allowing our customers to integrate the portfolio and the enterprise level that is missing in those tools. We continue to invest in some decision-making tool to help our customers to make the right decision, to accelerate having the right visibility on their project and on their portfolio tools like Monte Carlo. And we continue to bring many AI improvements. So as you, if you remember, AI is not new to us. We had things like predictive capabilities for quite some time, but we have further integrated AI to help our customers accelerate, improve our customers' productivity by leveraging things like augmented data entry or data quality audit and so on. And obviously, we're actively continuing on this trend with robot process automation, where we can automate repetitive tasks, improve standardization, automate processes and things like that, or improve our generative AI capabilities, combining our customer data with external data pools. What that brought to us is that the customers have seen a lot of values from what we've brought to them, and that return, what that brought to us is a recognition by the industry analyst. Across the board, the analyst confirmed Planisware leadership across their publication. Gartner, Infotech, IDC have made new publication in the last 6 months. And it's not only the analysts that are recognizing that. Through the Gartner Peer Insight, we have been awarded the Gartner Peer Insight Customer's Choice, being the solid choice in strategic portfolio management. This distinction is based on direct feedback from our customers. It's based on the quantity and the quality of the reviews that Gartner receives from our customers directly to them. If you remember, it's very important for us to be recognized by the industry analysts and by our customers, because it really helps us to secure RFPs and to be invited to participate on tenders with those customers. If we look across the world, where is this growth coming from? North America has been very dynamic. It represented 44% of our revenue in 2023, with a growth at 22.3%. It really worked on all of the different angles there. We had some significant cross-selling, significant upselling across all of the pillars. If you remember, we have those pillars that we align with the different part of the project economy. So really, North America worked really, really nicely for us. Europe, which accounted for 49% of our revenue, had a growth of 14.7%. We really had some very strong dynamics in Germany, which contributed a lot for this European growth. It has been a little bit slower in the rest of Europe, but I mean, nothing really shy compared to the market performance, so that we really believe that we have outperformed. Now, APAC, Middle East, and the rest of the world had a significant growth, but given how small they were, it's not necessarily very significant. But what it has really achieved for us in 2023 is that it confirmed our ability to secure new logos in those regions, and it also confirmed our ability to upsell the logo that we had in the region. So that has been fantastic as well. On the next slide, we can look into our growth by pillar. So the remember the pillar aligning with the different project economy segment. So the product development and innovation has been really strong in terms of growth for us. It's a major pillar for us. And maybe one to notice as well is the digital and IT pillar, where we had some solid growth. And that one has been very key to us, because we've been able to displace some long-established competitors in this pillar. Now, in terms of corporate social responsibility and ESG, well, as you know, I think we've shared that extensively in the past. What's very important for us is our people. It's our Planiswareans. And we've been certified, again, a great place to work with a great trust index. And I mean, really, our Planisware are in full force to continue to establish Planisware as the number one enabler of the project economy. On the rest of the ESG, we've set up a CSR governance structure, and we have implemented a risk-based approach with dedicated policies, action plans, internal control, and so on. And, 11 environmental, social, and societal, and governance risk. And now we are close to publishing our first extra financial performance statement to present in detail how we intend to strengthen our CSR strategy. So all of that translated to some very robust financial, which I will now turn to Stéphanie to further develop.
Thank you, Loïc. Good afternoon. So let's start with the revenue. So we have in 2023 a robust revenue growth. We went from 92 million in 2020 to 156 million in 2023, which is 18% of growth year on year and 20% of growth at a constant currency. Of course, this is mainly driven by the recurring revenues. Our recurring revenues went from 63 million in 2020 to 135 million in 2023, which is 24% of growth year on year. In terms of as a percentage of the revenue, the recurring revenue represented 86% in 2023, and we had 69% in 2020. So of course, this is mainly due to the transition to SaaS. Let's go more into details into the recurring revenues. So as you saw on the previous slide, our recurring revenues represented 135 million euros in 2023. So in the recurring revenues, we have the SaaS model and the maintenance. The SaaS model went from 46 million in 2020 to 160 million in 2023. So the SaaS model, the SaaS revenues increased very significantly at 29% growth year on year. So our SaaS model represented 50% in 2020 and go to 74% in 2023. Finally, we have the maintenance, which is issued from our previous business model, that is slightly decreasing as a result of the transition to SaaS. It represented 12% of the revenues in 2023. Let's go now even more in details inside the SaaS model. Inside the SaaS model, we have three typologies of revenue. We have the SaaS and hosting, the evolutive support, and the subscription support. The evolutive support is the support we provide to the clients during their expansion phase. So evolutive support goes with the SaaS. It's sold on top of the SaaS. It cannot be sold separately. So during this expansion phase of a few years, we invoice to the customer evolutive support. Then when the client is enough mature, we switch to a pre-annual contract of subscription support. So this is support from premium clients. So if we look at the numbers, the pure SaaS went from 23 million to 65 million in 2023, which is 33% of growth year on year and 42% of CAGR since 2020. Evolutive support grew pretty well also, achieving 42 million in 2023, which is 18% of growth year on year. And finally, subscription support went from 2 million in 2020 to 9 million in 2023. So it's increasing significantly. It's a service we launched more recently, so it's still more small compared to the evolutive. Then we have a ratio which is interesting, with what we call the SaaS coverage. The SaaS coverage is defined as the SaaS plus the subscription support divided by evolutive support. The SaaS coverage went from 1.2 to 1.8 between 2020 to 2023. And this ratio, it's really interesting because it allows to measure the contribution of evolutive support. You can see clearly through this ratio that evolutive support helps to increase the spending of SaaS of the clients year after year. Let's have a look now to the non-recurring. So the non-recurring revenue decreased year after year as a result of the shift to the SaaS model. It represented 14% of the revenues in 2023. Inside this non-recurring, we have the perpetual licenses that went from 11 million to 6 million in 2023. We consider that most of the decrease is behind us as we have reached a low level of 6 million of perpetual licenses. We sell perpetual licenses only to very specific clients that are, for example, in the defense sector. Then we have implementation services that are slightly decreasing from 17 million in 2020 to 15 million in 2023. This is thanks to the streamlined and efficient implementation that we have achieved these numbers. And finally, we have 1 million, which is the number, which is the revenue made with affiliates inside the group. Now let's turn to the profitability. First, the gross margin. So we improved our gross margin to 71% in 2023, which represents 111 million. So the gross margin has been improved mainly thanks to the inflation, to the contract inflation indexation for our new clients and for existing clients during the renewal period. And also because we faced in 21-22 a talent war where we have to increase a lot of salaries. So now we are getting back to normal and we are getting back to a gross margin over 70%. Of course, in the meantime, we have monitored all expenses, especially the outsourcing contract. In terms of operating expenses, we have 68 million in 2023. So let's start with the R&D. So R&D represented 20 million, so 13% of the total revenue. So we continue to invest massively in the product as it's really core in our business, and we want to continue to invest in the future also. In terms of sales and marketing, we are quite stable in terms of percentage of revenue at 17%. We continue to invest massively in our commercial platform. And finally, G&A increased slightly at 14% of the revenue. We have to structure the company for the IPO, and we need to continue to support the business to grow also. In terms of adjusted EBITDA, so our adjusted EBITDA is growing from 33% in 2020 to 33%. We have a slight decrease in 2022, but we are getting back to a 33%. Which represents 52 million in 2023. What we mean by adjusted EBITDA is that we do not include the non-recurring items, like for example, IPO costs, these kind of things. So we improve our adjusted EBITDA thanks to three main things. So the first one is the thing I presented just before, the indexation of all the contracts with inflation clause. The second is the moderation of our salary costs. And the third one is the decrease of outsourcing and also the renegotiation of all our outsourcing contracts. So finally, the cash. So as you saw, we have an adjusted EBITDA of 52 million. In 2023, we have 5 million of CapEx, which represents approximately 3% of the revenue. We paid taxes for 7.5 million. And we have improved significantly our change in working capital at 4 million. So that gives us an adjusted free cash flow of 44 million, which represents, in terms of percentage, 84% of adjusted FCF. So 84% is consistent with what we have for as objective for 2024 and for the midterm, which was around 80%. It's a little bit under the target we have for this year at 90%. But in fact, what happens, in the US, we used to have clients that pay very in advance our SaaS contracts. And when we started and we continue to index our contract with inflation flows, we have to do some kind of trade-off between increasing the prices of the contract and getting the cash 1 or 2 months before the SaaS starts, or just having the cash earlier but not being able to increase the contract. So we decided, as we have cash, to increase the contract with inflation clause and to get the cash at the beginning of the SaaS instead of 1 or 2 months before. So we did this trade-off for good reason. That's why we have 84% of adjusted FCF for 2023. Finally, we have we present here a bridge between the cash position end of last year and the cash position end of this year by semester. So as you see, we have 121 million of cash position end of 2022. We generated an important adjusted free cash flow in the H1 at 33 million. So two reasons for this high free cash flow. The first one is the seasonality effect. We generally invoice most of the clients during the H1, the SaaS clients. And the second effect is that we have a catch-up effect of the clients that didn't pay in end of 2022 and pay at the beginning of 2023. Then we have other items like IPO cost and other different items for 4 million. And that gives us a cash position end of June at 149 million. In Q3, we paid 16 million of dividends and we generated an adjusted free cash flow during the H2 of 11 million. Finally, we ended the year with 143 million of cash position. We had 0.4 million of debt last in 2022, and we have no longer debt in 2023. So that's it for the financial presentation. I will turn to Loïc for the outlook.
Yeah, thank you, Stéphanie. Well, looking ahead to our objectives for 2024 and our midterm ambition, well, simply put, we just want to reiterate that we are confirming our guidance on every level. So for 2024, we are expecting our top line growth to be at circa 19.5% growth at constant currency. This is fueled by what we have sold in 2023 and also the solid deal flow that we are continuing to see in North America, in Germany, in Asia, and in the Middle East. Our adjusted EBITDA continues to get better at 33%. This increase comes from the profitability given the further mix effect that we see and the operational efficiency that we have as well. We've talked about the inflation of our the inflation adjustment clauses that we have put in our contract, so that continues to put some wind in our sail on this adjusted EBITDA as well. Well, our costs are the inflation slows down a little bit, so our cost it has a lesser impact on our costs. For the midterm, we are maintaining a 20% plus growth. Again, it comes from the recurring revenue and in particular our SaaS revenue that contribute that is fueling this this growth with a recurring level at about 90%. 20% is a level that is aligned with the model that we build and that we know to how to deliver. On the adjusted EBITDA, we expect some improvement so that it would be at circa 35%, having the full benefit of the contract inflation indexation clauses, the SaaS acceleration result, and the operating leverage that we had mentioned earlier. And of course, we believe 80% adjusted cash conversion is the right level for us. It's one that we have proven time and time again that we know how to achieve and that we expect to keep achieving in the year and in the future. And with that, I will turn back to Pierre for final.
So to conclude, if you remember well, I think the key part of our strategy is a multi-specialist approach that helps to differentiate against all the large players who start to be commoditized. So it's something we'll pursue. We do not plan to add a new specialty this year. I think we want to confirm the one we have been created, especially the two newest one, which is PBA, Project Business Automation and Project Control and Engineering. Our tech stack, we are still investing in our tech stack and there are great things happening. I mean, we've been developing a module 6 years ago to which are doing machine learning to make some forecasting model. And we see more and more interest from our customer just because large logas model are more known and everybody wants to do AI now. So we are selling this module quite well currently as an upsell. And it's good news because all these AI things are really educating our customers. Our customers are still in the same category, blue chip, large clients, and they stay with us for a long time. I think our model is quite sound. I mean, we want to maintain a good compromise between growth and profitability and double revenue every 4 years. Thank you. So I think we are poised to do the Q&A session now.
Thank you, dear participants. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question over the phone, please press *11 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. To withdraw a question, please press *11 again. Please stand by, we'll compile the Q&A roster. This will take a few moments. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *11 on your telephone keypad. And now we're going to take our first question. Just give us a moment. And the question comes from the line of Nicolas Torres from Oddo BHF. Your line is open. Please ask your question. Excuse me, Nicolas?
Yes, hello to all. Thank you for letting me in. So Nicolas Torres at Oddo BHF. So first of all, yes, can you hear me correctly?
Yes. Yeah, very well.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, perfect. So first of all, congrats for this very strong set of results. It's a bit of a pity that you're not able to command them as a listed company, but we do hope to see that happen soon. So two small questions, if you don't mind, on my side. The first one concerns your outlook for 2024. Just curious to know if you expect growth to be consistent with 2023 in terms of momentum per sub-segments or geographies. Are you anticipating any change in trends compared with what we saw last year? Do you think Europe could accelerate, or do you believe US could slow down a bit given the challenging comps? Just to get your view on what will drive your business in 2024. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, we expect to do better in Europe this year. I think there is something very strange happening last year, and a lot of projects have been frozen. But basically, the outlook should be quite the same. The North American market is very dynamic. Asia is more but dynamic. So Loic, maybe you can give more color. But
yeah, I mean, that's right. It's quite aligned with what we've seen this first part of the year. We see actually maybe a little bit more momentum overall across Europe compared to the same time last year. It's a little bit more dynamic on the sales cycle. We also had a little bit of what happened a year ago where, if you remember, at the end of 2022, there was a lot of projects that did slow down and they resurfaced, especially very nicely in the US at the beginning of 2023. We did see a few projects that got postponed at the end of 2023 that we are seeing and that have actually closed in the beginning of 2024. So, yeah, for the time being, we're seeing something quite aligned with what we've experienced a year ago.
Okay, crystal clear, thank you. And my second one is on gross margin. Would it be possible to go back on the factors that have driven the improvement in 2023? We understand that you have activated a lot of, contractual terms regarding inflation and prices. But if we can have a bit more color on this particular achievement for you, because as far as I remember, You were at 68% in H1, so this means a very strong performance in H2. So any more insights would be very useful for us. And do you consider this level to be normative for Planisware today, or do you see, let's say, more room for improvement going forward? Thank you.
About the inflation clause. So we started to index all our contracts with inflation clause in 2022. So the new contracts are systematically indexed. For the contracts that, for the ones who need the renewal, we consider that we will be done with the renewal of the contracts by end of 2024. So 2023 is in the middle of that. But it's not only just about that. We also work a lot renegotiating outsourcing and decrease the part of the outsourcing in the group. That will allow us to reach this level of 71%. We consider that a target around 70% is a good target. It could be improved slightly, but not dramatically, because it's our business model. So
yeah. I agree. What will change the gross margin of the future is a revenue mix with a SaaS taking a bigger piece in the share. We do not expect more from operational thing. No, wage will increase. Indexation of contract is done. Subcontractor, we cannot expect to decrease like the expense anymore. So I mean, for the future, the increase of cost margin will come from the channel revenue mix. You know, the SaaS is quite profitable. It doesn't contain support, so it has a very high cost margin.
Yeah. Excuse me, Nicola, do you have any further questions?
Okay, perfect. Thank you and congrats again.
Thank you. Dear participants, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question over the phone, please press *11 on your telephone keypad. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *11. Now we're going to take our next question. And the next question comes from the line of Gustav Froberg from Berenberg. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi again, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions again. Just a few housekeeping ones, if I may. We've talked a little bit about the gross profit uplift coming from inflation and also from the reduction of outsourcing contracts. First of all, could you help quantify the split, please, and help us understand a little bit how much each factor has impacted your profitability? And then one question on outsourcing, just to finish, could you explain a little bit what it is that you have essentially renegotiated here? What type of people or outsourced help is it that you rely on? Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's, let's say, quite difficult to make a very precise picture on what is coming from what. It's probably evenly distributed. For the subcontractors, we had, we were subcontracting all the subscription support to a structure in Tunisia that we have been acquiring. And before acquiring them, we have been renegotiating the contract at a lower price point. So it has really been improving the cross margin of subscription support on one hand. On the other hand, we were externalizing sometimes some work, and we decided to reduce externalization of this work, and that really improved the profitability. So it's a lot of small things. You know, it's like when you want to increase the profitability, it's always I never say it's coming from one place. You need to work on all directions. Clearly, looking at our guidance, we were expecting to increase the profitability. But, it's to be frank, Gustav, the situation we've been seeing in 22 was the first in Planisware life to see our profitability decreasing. So it was the first time we need to increase the profitability again. So we weren't very sure that everything would be successful, but actually it has been very successful. So now for 24, we believe that we have been doing all what need to be done, and that's the reason why we didn't change the guidance.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dear participants, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 11 on your telephone keypad. Dear speakers, for the questions at this time, I would now like to hand the conference over to Pierre de Montson for any closing remarks.
No, I think thank you for listening to us, and I think probably we meet some of you after in the next week, so we'll have plenty of time to discuss further. So thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you.